الحمد لله الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا وحبيبنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم قل يا عبادي الذين أسرفوا على أنفسهم لا تقنطوا من رحمة الله إن الله يغفر الذنوب جميعا إنه هو الغفور الرحيم صدق الله العظيم. My most respected elders, brothers, and our mothers and sisters listening at home over the receiver. It is only through the fadl and karam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that half the Ramadan has terminated and Allah had given us the opportunity of keeping our rozas, performing our taraweeh, dhikrullah, tilawat, tahajjud, etc. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept all the ibadat that has already taken place. May Allah give us more tawfiq and hidayat and the strength and health to make more ibadat in the remaining days right till the end of Ramadan and even after the month of Ramadan. We have heard many talks before Ramadan, during the month of Ramadan, on the significance of this Mubarak month, the object of this month. We have heard talks on taqwa, etc., about reading excessive Quran Sharif in this month. But I wish to concentrate today, inshallah, on the importance of sincerely repenting to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala during this month, lest this month goes by and we fail to seek Allah's forgiveness. There have been very stern warnings in the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam regarding those people whom the month of Ramadan comes and goes by and they fail to seek Allah's forgiveness and hence they are not forgiven. This morning we mentioned the hadith after Fajr, where Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as he was ascending the minbar, it's a very famous hadith, all of us know this hadith, that Jibril alayhi salatu wasalam comes to him and makes a dua. In fact, it is a curse, a bad dua. And he says, woe be to that person whom the month of Ramadan comes and goes by and he is not forgiven. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Ameen to that dua. We know the compassion, the love Rasulullah had for his entire ummah. Day and night he would cry for the forgiveness of his ummah, his entire ummah. He would cry for you and I. And he would undergo great challenges, trials and tribulations just for our sake. Then can we imagine if he had to actually say yes, he said Ameen to the dua of Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam, who was sent by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make this particular dua, how important it is then that we don't become victims or we don't become perpetrators of the serious crime of failing to seek Allah's forgiveness in this month. The mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is vast. It is written on the arsh of Allah, إِنَّ رَحْمَتِي سَبَقَتْ عَلَىٰ غَضَبِي, that verily my mercy supersedes my anger. It overpowers. One riwayat, غَلَبَتْ عَلَىٰ غَضَبِي, it overpowers my anger. In other words, Allah's mercy is more than His wrath and anger. Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala used to say, عَجَبًا لِمَن يَهْلَك, عَجَبًا لِمَن يَهْلِك, وَمَعَهُ النَّجَاتِ. It is so astonishing, عَجَبًا, so strange, لِمَنْ يَهْلِكَ, that a person is destroying himself وَمَعَهُ النَّجَاتِ, yet he has the means of saving and protecting himself. قِلَ وَمَا هِي, he was asked, what do you mean? That a person is destroying himself, whereas he's got the means of seeking salvation. He said, man destroys himself by committing sins, yet he has the remedy for it, and that is tawbah and istighfar. We commit sins. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, out of His infinite mercy for us, Allah has opened a door, and that is the door of tawbah. So whenever man commits any sin, then there is a door that is open for him, and that is the door of tawbah. All it requires is to sincerely beg Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for forgiveness, and we will discuss what we mean by seeking forgiveness sincerely. There was a Bedouin who came into Masjid al-Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was busy performing salah with the sahaba. He joined in the congregation, and immediately after salat, he shouted from the back. He said, Allahumma arhamni wa muhammada wa la tushrik fi rahmatina ahada. Wallah, shower your mercy upon me and Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and don't join anybody else in this mercy. It must be exclusive only for the two of us. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam calls him, and he admonishes him, and he tells him that you have restricted the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which is so vast. Allah's mercy has been divided into 100 portions. 100 portions. And just one portion, in other words, 1%, Allah has sent down into this world. And this is the mercy we enjoy as human beings. Children enjoy the mercy, compassion, the love and care of their parents. Even animals, the mother will show care and compassion and mercy to her little ones. This is through that mercy that Allah has sent down. And this is only 1%. Can we imagine how vast the mercy of Allah is? If we see so much of mercy that we show to one another in this world. And Allah has held back 99% of His mercy for the day of Qiyamah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shower us with His mercies. Our elders, our mashayikh, our buzughan deen, ulama say, in the month of Ramadan, the mercies of Allah come down in torrents. They come down cascading. All we require is to enjoy this mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the correct way. Now, what is the meaning of sincere tawbah? Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu ta'ala explains that when a person milks a cow, and when the milk is removed from the udders of the cow, it is impossible to stuff the milk back into the udders. Once the cow is milked, you cannot push the milk back into the udders of the cow. Exactly like that, when a person repents, he makes amends, he turns to Allah with a penitent heart, he cries over his past sins, he is remorseful, he feels nadamat, regret, he feels that embarrassment, that pain in his heart, that, oh Allah, I committed this and that sin. Oh Allah, I promise to you, I will never go back to the sin. He makes a firm resolution that he will never go back to that sin. He is genuine, he is sincere. And most importantly, he has abandoned that sin. So he has made up his mind that he will never go back to the sin. He is sincere, he is genuine. He shows the regret, the remorse in his heart. These are the conditions of a true and sincere tawbah. So the person does not go back to those sins. Our ulama have explained, ulama Nawawi rahmatullahi alayhi, he said, after making this sincere tawbah, if a person has to slip again, and he falls into that same sin once again, then too Allah is prepared to forgive him. Again, he is required to make this fulfill the three conditions of tawbah. This we are referring to huququllah, rights of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When it comes to rights of mankind, a person has to go and ask the person for forgiveness or give him back the property that he has usurped and make amends. But when you come back to huququllah, even though a person slips many times, several times, the doors of tawbah are still wide open. The only time the doors of tawbah are closed are two occasions. When a person is leaving this world, when sakrat overtakes him, when his ruh is coming out of his body, in Allah Azza wa Jal yaqbalu tawbat al-abdi ma lam yugharghir. Right till this rattling sound, right till sakrat does not overtake him, right till maut does not overtake him, Allah is prepared to forgive him. And the other occasion is when the sun will rise from the west and not from the east, and that is one of the major signs of Qiyamah. Till then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is still prepared to forgive. Now there are so many incidents in the book, in the kitabs of hadith, showing to us Allah's vast mercy. Once Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was sitting with the Sahaba radiallahu anhu majma'in, and they had taken some captives of the enemy. And amongst the captives there was a woman, a slave girl. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam watched her, and the Sahaba observed likewise, that she held a little child, and she was pressing this child onto her chest, and comforting this child, and showing so much of care and love for this child. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam questioned the Sahaba, أَتُرَوْنَ هَذِهِ طَارِحَةً وَلَدَهَا فِي النَّارِ. Do you think this woman will throw this child into a fire? The Sahaba said, never. She is showing so much of care and love for this child. It is impossible. Rasulullah then remarked, Allah's qasam, Allah has more love for his banda, for his servants, than this woman is showing towards her child. Allah's mercies are vast. Allah loves to forgive. إِنَّ اللَّهَ يُحِبُّ التَّوَّابِينَ. Allah loves those who repent. In one hadith, At-ta'ibu Habibullah. The one who has made a sin, he has disobeyed Allah, but he has come back to Allah, he has made ruju' to Allah, he has returned to Allah, and he has sought Allah's forgiveness, he now becomes the beloved of Allah. Subhanallah. Any person committing any offense in this world, that offense is recorded in the books, in the registers. But when a person makes a sin, commits a sin, and he makes sincere tawbah, Allah actually wipes out the sin. Like the other night we mentioned in Taraweeh Salah about our books of deeds that will be presented to us on the day of Qiyamah. Everything is recorded. But Allah wipes out, Allah obliterates those sins that a person committed after he makes sincere tawbah. Allah wipes out those sins. And Allah makes those angels who recorded those sins, Allah makes those angels completely forget that this person committed a certain sin. وَمَعَالِمَهُ مِنَ الْأَرْضِ. All those people who had witnessed him in this world committing that sin, they too will forget that this person committed the sin. وَجَوَارِحَهُ. Even his limbs. Normally, we find on the day of Qiyamah, a person's limbs will bear witness against him regarding the sins that he had perpetrated. But Allah will make those limbs even forget that this person committed the sins. And he will meet, يَلْقَ اللَّهِ. He will meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in such a condition that all his sins are forgiven and there'll be no person to witness against him on the day of Qiyamah. In one famous hadith which we have mentioned many times, but the purpose of this hadith and this topic that I have chosen today, although we have heard it many times, is to give us great hope in the mercies of Allah. And of course, to make sure that the remaining days now, we don't let the days just go by and we still do not seek Allah's forgiveness. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gives an example. Traveling in the desert, he's got his camel, he's got his food, his bare necessities. And after some time, suddenly this camel escapes. It escapes. It's got his water, his food. And the camel was the means of transport.
Now this person, where is he going to chase behind this camel? And he searches for his camel, but of course, it's a vast, open desert. He's unable to retrieve this camel. So he sits down under a tree, and losing all hope in getting back this camel, and thinking now these are his last moments of his life, he falls off asleep. And when he wakes up, Allah makes it such that his camel with all his belongings are right next to him again. It brings him such joy, such happiness, that in that excitement, when he decides to praise Allah and thank Allah, he uses the incorrect word out of excitement. He says, "Oh Allah, Allahumma anta abdi wa ana rabbuk." Instead of saying, "Oh Allah, you are my Rabb, I am your servant. Oh Allah, you are my servant, I am your Rabb." Out of excitement, Rasulullah says, "Akhta'a min farhah." Out of excitement, he makes his mistake. But the hadith says, "Lallahu afrahu bi tawbati abdihi min ahadikum." Allah becomes even more happy. More happier than this person who has retrieved his camel with his belongings after losing it in the desert. Allah becomes even more happy when you and I turn to Allah and beg Allah for forgiveness. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was ma'soom, sinless. He committed no sins. Despite that, every single day, in one riwayat 70 times, in another narration 100 times, Astaghfirullah, Astaghfirullah, Astaghfirullah. Ulama explain that besides the status of Rasulullah being elevated in the hereafter because of this istighfar, it is a lesson for his ummah. That we commit so many sins every single day of our life, how more important it is for us to make istighfar. مَنْ لَزِمَ الْإِسْتِغْفَارِ جَعَلَ اللَّهُ لَهُ مِنْ كُلِّ ضِيقٍ مَخْرَجًا. That person who clings onto istighfar, Allah makes an opening for him from every difficult situation. وَمِنْ كُلِّ هَمٍّ فَرَجًا. From every distressful plight and condition, Allah brings for him an opening and happiness for him. And Allah provides for him from unseen sources. وَرَزَقَهُ مِنْ حَيْثُ لَا يَحْتَسِبُ. Three important benefits of istighfar mentioned in this hadith. Our elders or mashayikh say that we make istighfar, but we don't do it with certitude and yaqeen in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and in yaqeen in the rewards of istighfar. But if we sit down and make istighfar, bearing in mind these virtues that Allah is going to make an opening for me from all my difficulties, and the distressful condition I have, Allah is going to remove it. And Allah is actually going to provide for me from unseen sources. In another narration, it is mentioned that the best neighbor or companion in a person's qabr is abundant istighfar. On the day of Qiyamah, when our registers will be opened before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, istighfar will appear as light, nurun yatala'la. So respected brothers and elders, we have to turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We have to make sincere tawbah and istighfar. Never ever lose hope of the mercy of Allah. There were two brothers in the time of Bani Israel. One was a great worshipper, all the time in the ibadat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the other person was a weak one like myself, committing gunas. So the brother who was very pious would frequently warn his other brother, "Listen, stop now. How long are you going to commit sins?" So on one occasion this brother responded, he says, "Khalli baini wa rabbi. Leave me and my Allah alone. You don't interfere, you don't tell me anything." So when the other brother heard this response from his brother, he says, "Wallah, Allah's qasam, Allah will never forgive you." The moment he uttered these words, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala became very, very angry with this person. When they both passed away, their souls were brought before Allah Rabbul Izzat. And Allah addressed the brother who said that Allah will never forgive you. Allah said, "Since when you have power like my power? Since when do you have ability and power and authority over others, that you have deemed him amongst those who will never be forgiven?" Go to Jahannam. And Allah tells the other brother, I have pardoned you, you may go into Jannat. It happens sometimes when we do a lot of ibadat in the month of Ramadan, we feel that piety, and we should feel pious, but we should not feel great of ourselves. We feel lighter, we feel good in our heart. We feel the contact with Allah, the bond with Allah. And we just wish that Ramadan never comes to an end. It just continues and we enjoy the tilawat, but never look down upon any person. And never think too good of ourselves. Allah actually pardoned the other brother. Two people on the day of Qiyamah appear before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Both destined for Jahannam. They are taken out of Jahannam, brought before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah questions them that you committed these sins, they agree. And they confess. Allah says, yes, both of you go into Jahannam. So one runs towards Jahannam, the other one stands at the same position he was in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah asks him, what's the matter? Have you not heard my command? That fling yourself into Jahannam. He said, oh my Allah, I still had this last hope that you may still pardon me. Allah says, go, I have pardoned you. So Allah calls the other one. Then why did you run towards Jahannam? He says, oh Allah, perhaps this is your last command that I can at least fulfill. You commanded me, so I ran towards Jahannam. Allah says, you are also forgiven. Go into Jannat. Brothers, there are too many examples in the Quran, in Hadith, of Allah's vast mercy. How Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgives. How Allah loves to forgive. How Allah creates opportunities to forgive. The month of Ramadan is an opportunity given to us by Allah for forgiveness. Allah has made it such that Allah's special mercies come cascading upon the ummah of Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. After all these mercies coming down with such force, such vigor, and still we don't drench ourselves in the mercies of Allah. The last 10 days of Ramadan, I'tikaf starts on Tuesday, inshallah, Tuesday at Maghrib time, at sunset. These last 10 days, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, can we imagine the ibadat of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam throughout the year? Lengthy salat, sajdas. But specifically regarding the last 10 days, it is mentioned that he exerted himself. He would tie his lungi, indicating now he is going to be more serious in his ibadat than normal. And he would remain aloof from his wives. He would sit for i'tikaf. So those brothers who will be sitting for i'tikaf, may Allah make the i'tikaf easy for them. May Allah help them to spend the i'tikaf in the correct manner. It is so sad, and of course I'm making the announcement now also, that brothers will sit in this masjid for i'tikaf, may Allah make it easy, may Allah accept. But just an important tip, let us sit for i'tikaf with the correct intentions and create this bond with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is an occasion where a person remains secluded. He's aloof, he's in solitude. He gets that opportunity now to connect with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He has cut himself from everything else. That is the meaning of i'tikaf. Where a person clings onto the masjid. He is not even given permission to go out of the masjid except to answer the call of nature or something very, very out of necessity. He remains in the confines of the masjid. He cannot even go into the sehen area for no reason. So what does he do in the masjid? He secludes himself and he spends all his time in the ibadat of Allah. Of course he will rest and iftar and sehri he will eat. But we find many times people are making i'tikaf, they are busy fighting, quarreling, shouting, talking at the top of their voices, and cell phones are brought. Allahu Akbar. Then you have defeated the purpose of i'tikaf. If you have brought your cell phone into the masjid, and if you think, no, I will read my Quran Sharif, we have got enough Qurans provided for you. You need your other dua kitabs, bring it along. But don't bring the cell phone, because you will be tempted to answer somebody's call. You will be sending messages to your family members, to your wife and whoever. send this chow for me and that food. Allah will send plenty for you. And if those youngsters who are not married, then again you are tempted, you have come here to clean and purify yourself. How many a youngster told me after i'tikaf or during i'tikaf that she still messages me. I don't know what to do. Should I answer her call? Should I respond to her WhatsApp? Brothers, you should not bring the cell phone into the masjid. If you want to really enjoy i'tikaf in the true sense of the word, if you really want to be a lover of Allah, if you really want to imitate the angels of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if you really want to fulfill the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, if you really want to get the barakat of i'tikaf in the last 10 days of Ramadan, and those of us who are not sitting for sunnah i'tikaf, and who will come for the programs at night, or who will remain at night, then we also should behave in the correct manner, and carry out ourselves in the correct way, bearing in mind the adab of the masjid. There are people making ibadat. There are people sleeping. It doesn't mean we go ahead and have a party outside. This partying would last 10 days. It never gels. Unfortunately, in most of our masajid, this is the reality. And we have to speak about these things. Here too we'll give something to eat. Otherwise they say, Marana, you can't even give some cup of tea. We are sitting from Asar time. Yes, there will be some light refreshments. But we should not make it a party and make a din. We have non-Muslim neighbors living right outside the masjid. And they respect the fact that we are praying. It is our holy month. And if we misbehave and we make a din outside, then respected brothers and sisters, what type of Islam are we projecting? On the one hand, we're trying to gain the connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And on the other hand, we have become an impediment for people coming to Islam. So I make this humble appeal, whichever masjid you are going to, those sitting for i'tikaf should bear these important things in mind. That, yes, you can talk this. There's no masla that you should not talk at all. You can talk. You could ask somebody something. You need to stretch your legs. You need to walk. There's no problem in all. But we should not have now circles and now we start talking about this event and what's happening outside. No, we cut ourselves completely from everything besides our own ibadat. So respected brothers and elders, again I will reiterate and emphasize this point that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves to forgive. Allah says, Yabna Adam, O man, innaka ma da'utani wa rajawtani. As long as you have hopes in my mercy and you make dua to me, you supplicate to me, Allah says, Ghafartu lak, I will forgive you. Wala ubali, I am not bothered how much I have to forgive. One person comes to Rasulullah by the name of Jubayb radiallahu ta'ala. Ya Rasulullah, I commit a lot of gunas. Inni muqtarifun bidhunub. Rasulullah said, Tubilallah, make tawbah. He says, Ya Rasulullah, I make tawbah and still I commit sins. Nabi Kareem said, make tawbah again. Several times he said, until he says to Rasulullah, you know, my sins are plentiful. Takthuru dhunubi. I've committed too many sins. Rasulullah answered, Afullahi akthar. The forgiveness of Allah is far more than the sins you can commit. So Allah says, oh man, as long as you have hopes in me, I am prepared to forgive you. Then Allah says in the Hadith al-Qudsi, Ya Ibn Adam, لو بلغت ذنوبك عنان السماء, if you committed so many sins that actually heap up and reach the skies of the world, then too I am prepared to forgive you. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, لَوْ أَتَيْتَنِي بِقُرَابِ الْأَرْضِ خَطَايَا. If you bring the whole world, and every single space in this world is full with sin. As long as لَا تُشْرِكْ بِي شَيْئًا, you do not commit any shirk, you do not associate any partners with me, but you are sincere and you make tawbah, Allah says, أَتَيْتُكَ بِقُرَابِ الْأَرْضِ مَغْفِرًا. I will bring the whole world filled of mercy and forgiveness for you. What else do we want now from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Rasulullah SAW has exhorted us. And he has shown us practically how much of dua, how much tawbah, istighfar he would make. The very first point we should bear in mind are the three conditions of tawbah that I mentioned. And after fulfilling those three conditions of tawbah, then we should have sincerity. We should be sincere in our tawbah. And don't just break the tawbah. In other words, when we are making tawbah, in the back of our mind, after Ramadan, I'm going back to the television programs. This is not sincere tawbah. I've stopped taking drugs in the month of Ramadan. After Ramadan, the moment Ramadan finishes, I'm going to go back to my old habits and take drugs again. If I'm womanizing immediately after Ramadan, I'm going back to those haram acts. My respected brothers, this is not tawbah. We have to have ikhlas, sincere in tawbah. And yes, there is a mujahada on the nafs. And the whole process of Ramadan involves taming of this nafs. We cannot blame shaitan now. Shayateen are chained. So what prompts us to do this evil action still? It is our nafs. 11 months in the year, our nafs became accustomed and habitual to doing evil deeds. So the month of Ramadan, with the barakat of this Ramadan, then we are able to tame this nafs. So there will be an exertion that we will apply on ourselves and refrain from sin, and this helps a person to make tawbah. Then one should ponder and reflect on over maut. That maut is something that none of us can escape. Tulul amal, Yahya bin Mu'adh radiallahu anhu used to say, that the thing that stops people from making tawbah is having long, long aspiration and thinking that he will live forever and ever. He fails to ponder and reflect that maut can strike at any time. So when a person thinks of maut, it will take him towards tawbah. Then we should stay in a good environment, in a pious environment. Remove ourselves from evil environments and evil company. Stay in the company of good people. Stay in the company of pious people. Then we should preoccupy ourselves and do something that will occupy your mind. Because if you're going to remain aloof without making any ibadat, then again, you'll be drawn and attracted towards haram pleasures. And then we should have the rewards of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's forgiveness, the rewards of tawbah in front of us, that will urge us to make tawbah and istighfar. It will give us that himmat and that courage to turn to Allah. And of course, we should also bear in mind the consequences of disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The consequences of sins and vice and evil. It removes the barakat of our rozi. It makes our heart blackened. It makes us feel miserable. It keeps us away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And very important, we should create the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in our heart. Create the love of Allah. Become a lover of Allah. If we try and do this for the last 10 days, inshallah, then I want to become the lover of Allah, the ashiq of Allah. I want to please my Allah. He is my master. Whatever Allah wants from me, I am going to fulfill it. I am going to obey my Allah. And do it not just because it is an instruction of Allah. Go beyond that. I'm doing it because I'm crazy in my love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And finally, a person should make sincere dua. Wallah, you grant me the tawfiq of tawbah. Allah, you grant me the tawfiq of tawbah. Allah, I am weak, I am feeble. We did the other night, Zakariya alayhi salatu salam. He made a silent dua to Allah. He put forward his feebleness before Allah, before he made his request. Wallah, I am kamzor, I am weak. Wallah, you give me the strength of obeying you. Allah, you forgive all my sins. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala most definitely will forgive all our sins. May Allah ta'ala enable us to spend the remaining days and nights of Ramadan correctly. May Allah make this Ramadan the best of Ramadan ever we had. May Allah forgive the entire ummah of Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam. A special request to our youngsters, the last 10 days of Ramadan. Of course, it's open to every single person. Come to the masjid. We will be having programs after Taraweeh, late night programs. We have programs after Fajr also. The intention of this program is just for ourselves to connect to Allah, and so that millions of others can also connect to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.